Who was it?
That would be Rufus.
Okay. Got it.
We have made the motion to do pass on TR-16-180 and got a second. We will do our review at the planning session.
Is that with or without recommendation?
With or without recommendation.
I just made a motion to do pass.
Roll call vote, please.
Jody Barnett.
Yes.
Joyce Deer.
Yes.
James Jennings.
Yes.
Rufus Scott.
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Next is TR-16-181. A tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to execute a master services agreement with SESO Solutions, Inc. on behalf of the Department of Health Emergency Medical Services. Sponsor is Ms. Barnett.
Motion due pass.
Motion by Ms. Barnett for due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Jennings. Discussion?
Jennings, is you or Ron? Ms. Barnett.
This is billing software for our EMS.
Any questions? Roll call vote, please.
Jody Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deer?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. This is TR-16-182. A tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to execute a University of Arizona College of Nursing affiliation agreement. Sponsors, Ms. Barnett.
Motion due pass.
Motion by Ms. Barnett for due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Scott. Discussion?
Sorry. This is a nursing student agreement.
Any questions? Ms. Jennings.
So where is the University of Arizona Nursing? Where is it?
I'm joking. I really am not. I'm sure it's an online class that we probably have a student that wants to come in and rotate through our facilities. That would be my assumption.
I think in reviewing this, it was a Creek citizen who's a student out there right now currently. And part of her hours, she can gain her observation or training at a facility and someone needs to supervise. And in order to get the credits and the hours to get her license or graduate, you have to enter into this agreement. And because it's with a state-funded school, that's why we needed the legislation, because it would be a government-to-government. And there was an indemnification in there.
Madam Chairman, these chairs, this is the pretty standard agreements when you have students from universities. You have to have an agreement in place that stipulates what we will do as the receiving facility. Any, for the student, it's kind of guidelines that they follow. So we have these for other colleges and schools as well.
Thank you. Any questions? Roll call vote, please.
Jody Barnett.
Yes.
Joyce Deer.
Yes.
James Jennings.
Yes.
Rufus Scott.
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. TR-16-183, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to execute PAYCOM agreements included in the HR package on behalf of the College of the Muscogee Nation, sponsored by Mr. Jennings.
Motion for a good pass.
Motion by Mr. Jennings for a good pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Deere. In discussion?
We have a lady from the college.
Oh, okay.
Hello.
Hi.
On January 1, we're supposed to start our own, we're beginning our own HR. And so we are already doing the payroll side, so this would just be adding the HR side to it.
Okay.
And the Nation, it was previously approved back in 14 through legislation, but they were still coming under the FBI, federal ID number, the Nation. Now that the college has their own, they have to get their own separate agreement. It's actually, they've agreed to Paycom remove most of the arbitrary language. In our favor, the only thing they're keeping now is the indemnification language. So that's why we're bringing it to council. I have been in contact with Paycom. They were trying to get it started this month, but I explained to them that it needs to come to council due to the indemnification. They were assuming because we already had something in place, they could sign a new one. And I told them, even though the college is still an arm of the Nation, it is an independent agency, and that it still would have to come through council. So that's the reason why they're having to do a new agreement, because they have their own FBI number now.
Any questions? Roll call vote, please.
Jody Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. This is TR 16-184, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to execute an affiliation agreement between the Muscogee Creek Nation Department of Health and the Board of Regents of the University of Oklahoma College of Pharmacy. Sponsors, Representative Deere.
Motion to pass.
Motion to pass by Ms. Deere. Is the second.
Second.
Second by Representative Jennings. Discussion.
This is an annual update with the University of Oklahoma, where our pharmacy students come through and rotate. I believe there's some language issues in this particular, because it's governed by the state of Oklahoma.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions? Roll call vote, please.
Jody Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Next is NCO 16-178, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a donation to Haskell Public Schools. Sponsors, Representative Huff.
Motion to pass for discussion.
Motion by Representative Deere for due pass for discussion. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Jennings. Discussion. Is Mr. Hayes here?
Yes.
Mr. Hayes.
Thank you guys for allowing me to speak on behalf of Haskell Public Schools. My name is Wes Hayes. I'm the boys basketball coach, and I teach all the histories. Superintendent is watching his child play in the tournament at Twin Hills. That's where my girls coach is, and my athletic director down at the football district meeting, so I'm the lone bandit. We are hosting the second annual J.T. Dixon Memorial Basketball Tournament. If you guys don't mind, I'll pass these out to you guys. You can go along. This is a letter from my superintendent. I'll paraphrase what I have typed up and sent over to Mr. Huff a couple of months ago. I cannot recite word for word. You guys already have that?
Yeah.
Okay.
To me,
you guys already have
that. Then there's no.
You already have that. And Robert had asked for a letter from our superintendent, Joel Bates. So he typed it up, and I'll summarize what I had sent over to Robert. We're a small town within the Creek Nation boundaries, around 1,800 people. You know how budgets are in the state of Oklahoma right now. Everybody's getting cut off at the knees, and we're no different. We're like every other struggling school district in the state of Oklahoma. Our community is small, so we do not have the business demographic to go out and tap the same businesses over and over. That's already hit hard with football and baseball with the signs that they have sponsored out of their fields and their stadiums. So it's left up to us to find a partnership with somebody. We came over last year. We were a little too late. The J.T. Dixon Memorial Basketball Tournament is set up to honor the memory of J.T. Dixon, who served 30 years in our district as a coach, teacher, principal, and superintendent. I actually coach his grandson. He's a good kid, great kid. We tried to focus on schools within the Creek Nation, which right now we have 6 out of our 8 teams in the tournament that are in the Creek Nation. And like I said, partnership with you guys, because we're really kind of, we're out on an island by ourselves. And to generate a fundraiser, to come up with a source of income to make this tournament stand on its own 2 feet, we were asking for a 2-year partnership. And I know that letter has a dollar figure that Robert said was too much. But what we'd like to do are some simple things. That the tournament, the teams that come to our tournament, if they're awarded hardware, such as an all-tournament team, or they're first place or second place, they would leave out with that Creek Nation seal on that trophy, on that plaque. We can do it at many different levels, but I'm starting on a small level with those trophies. We also go to fund our hospitality room to go for all the school administrators, faculty members, of course, Creek Nation representatives, if they so choose to come to the tournament. Tournament t-shirts are always huge. Of course, we have the Creek Nation seal on that as well. And really, that tournament t-shirt situation is how we generate some revenue to sustain the tournament. And we, like I said, we will go 2 years where we'd like to be able to stand on our own 2 feet. Last year, we just super glue and duct taped and hustled, and we had a successful tournament. And we were able to generate a little bit of money to cover the cost of the officials, to cover the expenditures that we had for our hospitality room, the coaches' gifts, so on and so forth. But being a small community, we cannot go back out there. Everybody was kind of fired up last year about helping out because we were in the middle of a state championship run in football. So the community had a second wind of rallying and supporting our kids. And we don't have that luxury this year. So we really need to find somebody that believes in what we're doing, sees the value in what we're doing. Of course, you know what, you guys are huge. I mean, I cannot find another situation that would be beneficial for our kids, but also benefiting all the kids that are coming into our tournament that go to those schools that are within the Creek Nation boundaries. Feel free to ask me anything you would like to ask me. I'll do my best to answer it.
Are there any questions, Mr. Jennings?
Madam Chair, I'll make a motion to amend the amount to $2,000 instead of $3,500.
Motion been made by Mr. Jennings to amend the amount to $2,000 from $3,500. Is there a second?
Second
by Representative Deere. Roll call vote on the amendment.
Dave Barnett.
Yes.
Joyce Deere.
Yes.
James Jennings.
Yes.
Rufus Scott.
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. The amount from $3,500 has been amended to $2,000. Are there any questions? Representative Hicks.
Good evening, sir. With the amended amount, will the tribe still get this amenities that's in your letter, or is that going to change?
Well, first and foremost for me would be the trophies. We go through Tulsa Trophy and West Tulsa. So I think that's very important. They need to leave the hardware with the Creek Nation seal on it. We just have to prioritize at that point. The t-shirts are huge. I mean, there's just, I've been doing this for 21 years. You would think that every kid that comes to a tournament is leaving with a $100 bill when they get that t-shirt. It's just a really big deal. Even the coaches are like that. And of course, we set it up out there where last year we had a donation where we could sell those t-shirts and make a little money to help go back into our fundraiser. But we would just have to prioritize. Of course, you guys could tell me, you know, if you wanted 800 t-shirts out in the community, representing the J.T. Dixon Memorial Basketball Tournament, Haskell Public Schools, and all those schools, and that in your seal on there. To me, I think it's, I know that as far as marketability and advertising, I know that that's not a need. You guys are the Creek Nation is huge, so I don't know how much value the t-shirts would be to somebody in the marketing department, but to me, that t-shirt being out there with your seal on it, your logo, and the fact that you got behind our district and the Creek Nation is a big deal to me personally as an educator. So, we can kind of scrap the hospitality deal, and I'll just hustle that up with moms and dads cooking at the house. So.
Thank you. Any more questions? Not roll call vote, please. On the main motion.
You just made a motion for discussion, so I just need a major motion for do pass as amended.
Motion no pass.
As amended?
Yes, as amended.
Motion by Representative Deere to do pass as amended. Second by Representative Jennings. Roll call vote, please.
Dodie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
I'm sure you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Will be sent to BF&J. Next is NCA 16-179, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a donation to the Holdenville Fire Department. Our sponsor is Representative Yahola.
Madam Chair, motion for due pass for discussion.
Motion by Representative Scott for due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Jennings. Discussion?
Madam
Would
Chair.
Would you like to come up?
Gordon, he want to speak for y'all. He or somebody else?
Be glad to. Tim McCollum from the fire department. Richard Carr, Security Bank. We, in 2015, we had several swift water rescues. Really no proper way to rescue the rescues. We had a drowning at our city lake without a way to really help with the process of the drowning and everything like that. So the 12 departments in Hughes County, we got together and decided the need was for a boat equipment to do the swift water rescue, help out with the city lake. So we did several fundraisers, filled the booth, we had a gun raffle, went to several organizations in Holdenville, Hughes County, getting donations. Several donations from private citizens. We're to the end of the project and was hoping to get a $5,000 donation to help with the building, just store it in to keep it secure out of the weather. So, I think Richard and I have a little bit more on the financial part of it too.
Yeah, the actual cost of the project is $22,000. We have raised that makes up the amount. We have raised $17,733, and out of that total raised was a boot drive by the fire department, $1,500, gun raffle by the fire department, $5,700, and additional donations by private citizens of $10,033. So we're going to need an additional $5,000 to finish the project. Also, I have a letter signed by the 12 fire chiefs of the Hughes County Fire Departments that stating that they support the water rescue boat, and also authorize the Holdenville Fire Department to store Central Leak at their location. Any donation or anything that you would consider for us would be greatly appreciated.
Thank you. Any more questions?
So it's for all fire departments within Hughes County?
Yes.
Okay.
Countywide.
Okay. Yes, if I may approach the council, I will present this letter to you from the fire department.
Yes, so you can get to looking to clean at the end, please.
Representative Yahola.
Yes, I'm going to be added as a co-sponsor.
Okay. Representative Yahola will be added as a.
Yes.
You are the sponsor.
You're the sponsor.
Oh. I was thinking about another.
We'll put your name down twice. Any questions? not, roll call vote, please. Thank y'all for coming.
Oh, excuse me. Dottie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deer?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
I'm sure you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Will be presented to the BF&J. Next is NCA 16-180, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the expenditure of funds from the Institute of Museum and Library Services 2016 Native American Library Services Basic with Education / Assessment Option Grant for the Library of the College of the Muscogee Nation. Sponsors, Representative Jennings.
Motion for a due pass.
Motion by Representative Jennings for a due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Deer. Discussion?
I believe this grant is being just used for both some of these that are nightly for the kids. And I think the librarian is going to go on a conference, one conference this year.
Questions? Thank you. Roll call vote, please.
Dottie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deer?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
And she got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Next is NCA 16-181, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a supplemental appropriation to the Muscogee Creek Nation Muscogee Language Program fiscal year 2017 budget. Sponsor is the Representative Deer.
Motion due pass.
Motion by Representative Deer for a due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Jennings. Discussion?
Okay, we put in to add 8 teachers. In the past, we did have teachers out in the public schools, but then we were asked to come in to be a resource, and then we became a resource and help with Mayon. So now we have 3 teachers that teach in the daycares. They teach 264 students right now in the mornings, but if we had additional teachers, we could put them out in the public schools. I did go to the Board of Education here in Okmulgee and talk to Miss Dove, and she's excited about it if we can get teachers in there. I haven't contacted other schools. What I looked at was what the JOM gave me. They have, we were looking at the schools that had the most Creek students. They have over 100 students in several of those schools, and that's where we got our, and then we put the figures together for 8 teachers. And our purpose and our goal in our program is to teach students to be out there teaching, and also we can, when we do teach, we would, the teachers would become state certified, and they can teach in the public schools as a state certified teacher. When I talked to the Board of Education, they said that now is a perfect time because for August, that's when they could put them on the curriculum. Students will pre-enroll in January and February to decide if they can take Creek classes, and that's what this is about.
Madam Chair, I might add that because of the timing of this, being the month of November, the amount that's requested in this legislation is probably what would not be needed to carry you through September 30th. So if you start this program in January, you're looking at a 9-month budget, which would put you around $396,000 if this was approved. So that the number that we came up with was for a fiscal year appropriation that would cover the 12 months. If you decide to approve this, you would be looking starting January, 9 months, okay. January through September.
Okay. In January would also give us the time to do our, we have trained the trainer classes for our teachers, and that would also help us get them ready to start teaching in the public schools for August.
Do y'all get in contact with all these schools?
I will get in contact with them if this gets approved. I didn't want to jump up there and talk to them and get their hopes up and then it not go through. So I wanted to make sure. But I did check locally just to kind of see what their process was. Mm-hmm. And that's what they said. So January and February is when they pre-enroll. And then they put that out there on the curriculum. And then they can take it for 2 years and it would become, they can take it for a credit because they have to have it for 2 years. And the teacher here, the superintendent here, said we would be excited to have it even if it's just for 1 year because she felt like it's important. The language is important for the public schools, so.
Questions? Ms. Barnett?
Okay, so these 8 teachers would be teaching in the Head Starts, daycares. Because you mentioned the Head Starts and daycares when you were...
The teachers that we have now are teaching in the Head Starts. The new teachers would teach in the public schools.
Okay, so then these 8 teachers would only be for public school instruction.
Yes, well, they can also teach in the communities too, like because in the summertime they'll be out of school, so we can also teach them in the, to have communities taught in the summertime, or we can teach immersion classes during the day.
Okay, so then the curriculum that you have is ready to be approved by the state so that those students would get world language credit for these classes?
The state doesn't have to approve the curriculum. I spoke to Dessa Dawson and she said we could teach how we want and what we want because I offered to give her a copy of the curriculum. So we already have a curriculum set up and right now it's at the AG's office for the copyrights and stuff like that. But we are willing to, you know, we'll work with the teachers and get them all set up for whatever they might need for their classes.
So since this is in a public school setting, how is enrollment of non-Creeks going to be handled?
They'll be able to enroll if they want to, because it's just like taking Spanish, because it's considered a foreign language. So they can take Creek if they want to. It's just like any different than Spanish.
Right. And so with ESSA, the passing of ESSA, there was new funding for language programs. So have we tried to apply for any grants from the federal funding in order to teach language? Because ESSA opened up new funding for language instruction. Okay, so we have not tried to write for outside grants through ESSA to fund this.
But I can check with the grant writer and find out, because I'm not a grant writer, but I can find out.
Okay, and then last question. It's not just Muskogee Creek that we have under the tribal umbrella now. We also have the Uchi language. So are there plans to expand the Uchi language if we expand the Creek language?
That has not been discussed. I have not talked it over with Lester.
Okay. So then this would just be for Creek language. We have no plans to strengthen or empower the Uchi language program to...
Again, that has not been discussed again. We wanted to see where this stood with the council at this time rather than you two go on one time.
The Uchi language would have to go to the state like we did as a Creek Nation. Creek Nation went to the state, and we had to work with them to get all those levels and things. So Lester would need to go to the state and do his part as far as getting all the levels set up, and then he would also, you know, of course, work on his own curriculum and stuff like that.
Representative Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Anderson, so could you give us a new set of figures by council meeting?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got them here. We can introduce whatever we need to in what format, whatever protocol we need to go for.
Okay. Give it to Alicia and we have a substitute or whatever.
Or you can amend it.
Or amend it either way?
Yeah.
Okay.
Representative Hicks.
Ms. Deer. You mentioned that 8 schools would be selected, mm-hmm. and you were going by the head count or the number of students.
The number of students.
Kind of have a problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's because you have big schools, 2A, 3A, that may have thousands of students
right now.
Versus somebody small like Bearden, Okemah, or Mason,
mm-hmm.
where their head count is not in the thousands.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have Creek citizens.
That's
so
right.
How would you...
In order for us to cover that, we would need about 64 teachers to cover each school. Because that's the list that we have. I think 64 schools that we have. But then there's no guarantee that the old bigger schools might not want Creek classes.
Right, I guess
so we don't really know. I mean, we're saying eight, that's to start off with. So we're not ruling out the little schools,
right,
but yet we're looking at the ones that has the most enrolled. And we have taught in Mason, Wilson, Dewar, Dustin, Hannah, Holdenville in the past. Those class schools were taught in the past.
Right. I mean, I'm all for it, but like I said, I'm just saying it's kind of not fair if you're just looking at numbers, big schools versus little schools, just to get your number count.
I think part of our discussion when Jamal and I were discussing, we were requested to look into this legislation, is that we want to go where we get the most interest, where we can get the most students involved. And I think Jamal is just going to go out into the field and discuss this with the schools and engage interest and see who wants this in their schools. And really, who can bring this in maybe in January and work with us where we can get going first. So we're open.
And there was times, like, say, well, when they taught, we had one teacher that taught in Holdenville, but she'd go to, like, Weleek or somewhere else and teach. She'd teach there in the mornings and then the afternoons go to Holdenville. So it might not be just those eight schools. It could be two schools. We might have one teacher teach two different schools in Tulsa.
Okay.
You know, it just depends on, like I said, if they say we can teach. So it's open. It's an open door. I'm not going to just chop off these schools because there's just 10 students
right
there. But it all depends on what the schools say, too.
Okay. The last question I have is, what's the ultimate goal of this language? If we do fund it,
mm-hmm,
what's the ultimate goal? What are we wanting out of this?
We're wanting to teach the language so we don't lose it. And when we taught in the public schools before, a lot of the students did pick up the language. They were starting to pick it up. So that's our goal, is to preserve our language and hold on to it. That's that's our job.
So how many fluent speakers do you foresee out of this?
It depends on the school. You know, if they say we can teach 3 days a week or a whole week, it goes from there. It depends on how many hours they let us teach.
How long do you think it would take somebody to become a fluent speaker?
It depends on that person, if they really want to learn it.
So
it depends on the student.
So it's more one-on-one opposed to a classroom setting?
No, you can teach a whole group. It doesn't have to be one, so you can teach a whole group. And it also depends on the support of the home, too. If the parents or family wants to teach and help, we do, like in the Head Starts, they do send some work home to back up what we're teaching. And we have been working on resources to get those out. So it just all depends on the student and the families, if they really want to pick it up and they want to learn. It's not any different than teaching basketball. You know, you have one-on-one or you can teach a whole team.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing with the language. You can teach them one-on-one or the whole team. So it just depends on the students.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
I'm curious. Representative Hicks was saying, how many fluent speakers do you think we're producing?
We haven't produced any. That's why
I was just wondering about the YouTube program versus ours. I see the YouTubes
mm-hmm
are producing fluent
mm-hmm
speakers.
Mm-hmm.
In the last conference I went to some workshops, you know, with language immersion and all that. And I guess I was sitting there and I was thinking, my fear, like yours or anybody else's, is I hope we never get down to that limited amount of speakers to really engage ourselves and start producing fluent speakers, because I know they got right down to the nitty-gritty.
That's one of the things that our program worries about, is not having any speakers. We're down to probably, we estimate, about 300 fluent speakers out of 80,000+ people that we, citizens that we have. So this summer, one of the plans that was is for us, we're going to do a 6-week immersion class, and we're going to only select like 6 or 7 students just to see if we can produce a speaker. That's one of the pilot projects that we're working on this summer. So in addition to, if we can get to the public schools and start working with those students.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Can we get those figures, the corrected figures, and amend it?
Mr. Anderson.
Mr. Anderson,
yes.
Do you have the figures, the corrected figures now?
That we could vote.
For 9 months would be $396,513. It would start in January 1. And then access. I'm sure there's some chain clips over, but that's just...
What we usually do is we do a post-test and a pre-test, and that tells determines what they've learned. And they can go by the curriculum or whatever their lesson plans are. That's how we determine if they learned or not. We do that with our Head Start program. We do a test before they start classes, before school starts, and then that way we can gauge how much they've learned or if they're even learning. That's how we do ours.
Yes, just two more questions. First question is, have you guys looked into distance learning using technology so that those teachers don't have to run all over the 8 districts?
We looked at that before for like the communities. You know, we wanted to get it out through the communities. But what we found out was that some of the communities couldn't access the internet very well. There was problems with that. So, because we wanted to work with our own people before we go out, you know, to the public schools and stuff. We looked at that a few years back, but that was one of the issues that we had was that when we met with the IT people, they said that the internet service and things for us to connect did not work very well in some of the communities.
The distance learning portion of it, I meant for the public schools.
Because most of the public schools
would.
No, we haven't looked into that.
Okay.
But we can check on that and see how that might work if the public schools have that capability.
Okay. And then my second question is probably more for Mr. Anderson or Chief rather than for you. The comment was made earlier that it was either language or literacy. So why do we have these two programs pitted against each other? I don't understand. We have enough money for both. It's not either or.
I didn't say either or.
Okay.
I think it's up to the council to determine what program they want tonight.
I'd like to make a motion to pass with the amendment, the corrected.
You need to amend it.
Amend the amount.
Yeah,
amend the amount.
Okay. The amended amount was $396,319.
$513.
That's,
she's doing it now.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, motion made by Representative Dierdich. Amend the amount to $396,513. Second by Representative Jennings. Roll call vote, please.
Dottie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Dare?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
I'm sure you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion, our amendment has passed. Back to the main motion. Any more discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Dottie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Dare?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Be sent to BFNJ. I don't. Okay.
Next item is
NCA 16-182. A law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing an appropriation to the Muscogee Creek Nation Department of Education and Training Literacy Program for fiscal year 2017. Sponsor is Representative Barnett.
Motion to pass.
Motion by Representative Barnett for a due pass. Is there a second? Second by Representative Scott. Any discussion?
Yes, this legislation, I was requested to come up with something less than the 1.8 that was requested in the last bill, so I met with the MIAA president twice to discuss last year's agreement with MIAA, which was around $1,575,000. In meeting with the president, I asked him to work with us to try to come up with a figure that we would be able to work with to deal with the financial challenges that the tribe is facing at this time. In doing so, I asked him for the number of users that we were paying for, the number of users that actually access the program, And what we found out was a way that we could reduce the cost of MyOn and still maintain the users that we're logging on and we're gaining access to the program. So the figure, I believe it's 474, is what is in the legislation, correct? That is based on 16,000 plus users, along with some concessions that was made by MyOn so that we could keep this program in place. The reason it was $1,575,000 is the tribe was paying for 89,000 users at $10.26 per user. The math says that's about $913,000. We were paying that up front. Actual users, according to the MyOn president, was 16,000 plus at $10.26. So we had 73,000 citizens and other users. We have 81,370 citizens. We were paying for 89,000. So it was about 7,000 plus that we were paying for that were non-citizens. What we did was the 73,000 that had not accessed MyOn totaled about $750,000 that we paid for, but were not accessed. So we took those away. And I said, we only want to pay for what we actually use. And that was 16,000 plus. So I said, if you can come up with a number that we can work with that's going to reduce the cost, but still maintain the users that we have in place now. And then if we gain any more users, we will pay them as they come up each month, as you can determine that people have logged on. And I said the other thing would be, we're not going to pay up front. We were paying $1,575,000 up front before anything even started. So I think the payment plan is over 6 months. Is that correct? We would be billed monthly based on what we use, and that's the way we came up with the number. And the MyOn president is still allowing us access to the program until the nation determines if we want to move forward with our partnership with MyOn. So that's where that number came from. I think actual usage, I want to say 16,800 was actual users last year, and that's according to the president. And that's what I based the number on. So we were paying for 73,000 individuals that never logged on.
Ms. Barnett.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So in the new proposal, it says the proposal focuses on Muskogee Creek citizens 18 and under. So how does that happen in, well, JOM, for instance? Not all of our JOM students are Muskogee Creek citizens, or the Head Starts, or the daycare centers.
I was asked to keep it under $500,000. And so in order to do that, we have 21,000 plus citizens under the age of 18. And so that's kind of what we based the number on. And school age children is what we discussed with him, which 3 to 18 is the number that I used. We could move that number up if needed to 19, maybe 20, so we can get all our students in. But in my view, 3 and under, we were actually paying for children less than 1 year of age that were citizens. They can read where they can, we were paying for them. And I didn't think that was necessary. I just think we should only pay for the students or the users that are actually using MyOn. I can't see that.
Right, and I don't have an issue with that. My question is, there are non-citizens in Head Start, daycare, and JOM. How are we addressing that? The non-citizens just won't have access, is what I'm asking.
Well, I think if we're in those programs, we will work with them. Todd has told me he's going to reach out. He will work with the schools, the Jay Williams, and he, his company would, and his representatives would deal with that. Have you had a discussion with him, Randy, about that? He has told me that he will go out and work so that those folks aren't left out. Now, what we've done is the way we would set up payment on this is you would do a purchase requisition for X amount of dollars, and then we would pay them accordingly as we base our users. If we get an additional 100 users, then they would bill us for it.
Okay. So again, my question is, are we only paying for MCN citizens?
That's the way I understand it, yes, ma'am.
That's the way you negotiated it?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Are there any more questions?
So we're going to pay for the project manager?
That's included in the the budget, yes.
More questions? Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Back to the main motion. A roll call vote, please.
Dodie Barnett.
Yes.
Joyce Deer.
No.
James Jennings.
No.
Rufus Scott.
No.
Madam Chair, you got one in favor and three against.
One in favor, three against. That motion fails. Next is NCA 16-183, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing an appropriation for membership fees of the National Indian Education Association. Sponsor is Representative Barnett.
Motion to pass.
Motion to pass by Ms. Barnett. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Jennings. Discussion?
Barnett. Chief, did you want to speak to this or did you want me to?
We did get a month or so ago we did get a letter from the National Indian Education Association requesting a donation. I think it's an annual amount the tribe has been giving, and I believe the request was for $25,000, so I went ahead and sent that request over for council's consideration, since we have money appropriated in the past years to this group. Thank you.
Thank you.
I did meet with the executive director of the National Indian Education Association last Tuesday in Washington, and they were very supportive of the tribe and our efforts and what we do, and I know the tribe has done this in the past. My understanding, I know they're very active in advocating and lobbying for Indian education in Washington and really nationwide.
Thank you. Any questions? Barnett.
Thank you. Just one comment. Yeah, NIEA was actually very instrumental in a lot of the changes that came through ESSA with the tribal state consultation requirement one specifically, and then the extra funding for language preservation efforts across Indian country. So they are always advocating for all of our kids at all times. And their executive director, Anwai Rose, is Cherokee, and she's Creek by blood. So I just wanted to.
She will also be here in December, I believe.
Thank you.
We shall be those.
Yes.
Any more questions? Roll call vote, please.
Dodie Barnett.
Yes.
Joyce Deer.
Yes.
James Jennings.
Yes.
Rufus Scott.
Yes.
She got four in favor and zero against.
Four in favor, zero against. That motion passes. Will be sent to BF&J. Next is NCA 16-184, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a supplemental appropriation for the Muscogee Creek Nation Department of Health, Wetumpka Indian Health Center fiscal year 2017 budget. Sponsors, Representative Scott.
Madam Chair, motion for due pass.
Motion by Representative Scott for due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Barnett. Any discussion?
Madam Chair, I would just like to make a comment about this appropriation and the need of it for the health center in Wetumpka. I know the budget was passed because the health system had had a business plan, but I just don't think they realize the urgency, the need for this facility. And also, I might add that I voted no on that budget because of this. And I think that the urgency is known now to the council for the need of this facility. A lot of our citizens down in that area, they've lost service. They're having trouble finding providers or getting in with a new provider for simple things such as medication. And I just think this was a bad decision to reduce the days of operation. In fact, it was the wrong decision in my opinion. And so I'm just I just think that, you know, there needs to be a change. I know that the budget was approved, but as legislators, you know, sometimes we have the power to change legislation. And I think because of the urgency of the need for the people in that area, I think it should be changed. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other questions or comments?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Scott, Chief commented earlier, and the amount actually needs to be amended to
662-245.
Second. There's a motion and a second to amend the amount. Call for the vote.
Dottie Barnett?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 3 in favor and 0 against.
3 in favor and 0 against. The amendment passes. Is there any other discussion? Representative Barnett?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a couple of things really quick. I don't think it was easy for any of us to make most of the cuts that we did to healthcare in any area. People need dialysis, people need wound care, people, you know, our kids need braces, you know. One of the things that has concerned me since all of the changes took effect, though, is that I thought I had a really good grasp of the changes that were going to occur. But in the discussions that we had leading up to the changes, I do not remember at any time ever anyone saying to this council that primary care physicians were not going to be available at Wetumpka anymore when we made this change. Anytime you bring out a primary care physician, you're killing that facility. If we were going to close it, we should have just closed it and been done with it rather than not watering that branch of the tree anymore. Does that make sense? Because sometimes you can prune something to the point where you kill it. Healthy, you know, pruning in any tree can be healthy, but if you prune it too much, you're going to kill it. and especially in an area where, when we already knew services down there were vital, because a lot of people don't have the transportation to even go to Okemo, much less anywhere further, you know? So I think that, I know Rufus had asked last month, you know, at what point are we going to sit down and have a really long conversation and revisit this and everybody come to a consensus and see if we can fix something as it pertains to Wetumpka. But I think the last thing I'll say is I will support this to go to the full council, because I do think that this is something that the full council should decide, not just this committee. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any other comments, Representative Randall? I'm Mr. Hicks.
Thank you, ma'am. Like everybody said, this is a hard decision. It does affect everybody, all the Creek citizens, employees, administration. Everybody's affected by this. It is a hard decision. I made a trip down there today, visited with some citizens, and transportation is an issue. It really is. The needs down that way is the economic is very, very, very low opposed to up this way. And the transportation's an issue. There was the school. The school uses it. They use the counselors there. That's something I didn't know. I found that out today. Found out there was a student that during lunch was eating peanuts and had an allergic reaction. And luckily, the clinic was open that day. They gave him the shot and they sent him on to chemo. But, I mean, those are some stories that we don't hear. We know there's a need, but then you also look at the other side. And the other side is money. So, as legislators, what do we do? I mean, it's a tough call. Whatever you guys decide tonight, it'll go to the full council if you choose to. But like I said, there's some other stories that I heard, and just hearing the stories, it makes me say, yeah, we need this. But then, again, like I said, the business side, I'm going back and forth. I'll be honest with you. It's a tough decision. But like I said, you need the service. They need the service. I'm not going to lie. It needs to be there. Anyway, I don't know, maybe like Rufus suggested, maybe we all sit down and try to figure out a plan, a feasible plan, instead of just taking drastic measures and going one way and saying this is how we have to do it. I think we all need to just sit down and see what we can work out. That would be my suggestion. Like I said, the need is there. We just got to find a way. We as legislators need to find a way to make it happen. Thank you.
Representative Randall.
I'd like to be added as a co-sponsor if I could.
Representative Randall would like to be a co-sponsor.
Got my head cleared, I'll be a co-sponsor.
Okay.
Madam Chair, I also have one more comment. You know, we were talking about profit. I believe, or it's my understanding, that facility is there for service and not for profit. And I think the facilities that we do generate profit. I think, you know, there's more that can be done there to generate more profit. And I think even though it is a non-profit facility, there is profit to be made down there if they had the right equipment to do that.
Thank you. Any more questions? Mr. Jennings?
Thank you. I agree with Mr. Barnett's comments about sending it to the full council and just not holding it here at the committee. But also, you know, Wetumpka was not the only one that had their services reduced. If you go back, every department at the nation was required to take a 10% cut in their budget. So, you know, it's not just Wetumpka. You know, I can't support it, but I'll vote to send it on to full council.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any more questions? No, roll call vote, please.
Dottie Barnett.
Yes.
Joyce Deere.
Yes.
James Jennings.
Yes.
Rufus Scott.
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. It's sent to full council.
BF&J
for funding and council. Next is NCA 16-187, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a donation to Dewar Public Schools. Sponsor is Lucian Tiger III.
Motion due pass.
Motion by Representative Barnett for a due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Scott. Discussion.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Committee. I have Mr. Phil Hopper as well as Superintendent Bean. Mr. Phil Hopper, could you all come forward, please? Mr. Phil Hopper's principal as well as the baseball coach.
I'm actually not the superintendent.
Oh, you're not? That's not me. Oh, it's not me?
Yeah,
I apologize.
It's okay. It's another one.
Okay, come on. You come on up anyhow.
All right. We appreciate you guys taking the opportunity.
Don't go ahead and sit, have a seat right there.
Thank you.
I just got you a pay raise. You didn't know it, did you? Go right ahead.
Well, on behalf of Dewar Public Schools, again, we appreciate the time and opportunity to be able to meet with you guys. So we're asking for some help. As previous coach said, seems as if our public education funding is just limited every year. And so for the most recent few years, it just seems like that we're doing the bare minimum that we can to be able to get by. And so what we're asking is for some help with uniforms for our baseball, specifically our baseball program. Baseball is a sinking fund. We fundraise every year. It just takes a substantial amount of money to be able to run these programs. And so it's really hard to make any money just due to lack of attendance at games. But we do have a strong program both in our junior high and high school. It's been 2008 since our last set of uniforms, so we're on its last leg with those, scraping by just to try to get enough for all of our students. We are a very strong Native American based population. Our school, roughly 60% of our high school students are Native American based population, and so this money would go directly to our students and no one else, so they would reap the benefits.
With that being said, Mr. Gilhopper, how much do you all raise usually on your fundraisers?
We do multiple fundraisers throughout the year. We do blue and gold sausage for our entire athletic fundraiser, but specifically with baseball, we've done fundraising cards. Last year, we raised roughly $1,800, and then we host a tournament every year. That last year, we baseball and softball combined, so we split the profit. We netted somewhere around $7,000, so $3,500 per sport was able to split, which is a pretty good substantial amount. But I don't know if you guys are aware, umpire costs are, I mean, each time we have an umpire come to our facility, you know, it's costing us $250 for two umpires just for one set of games. And so, again, there's just, it's pretty good money. So just for us to be able to sustain the program. We also realize the importance, you know, as of being a principal and a coach, how important it is for our student athletes to be able to be involved. That's probably one of the main things we do. Our programs that we run at Dewar are exceptional programs. We demand a lot out of our students. And so it goes without saying that our expectations for our student athletes are extremely high. And so we hope that that pays off as being good citizens. Additional questions or anything else you'd like to add, Mr. Bean?
No.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
So you're the principal?
Yes, sir. 6
so,
through 12.
So how's the Head Start program at Dewar?
Well, our Head Start program's good. It's really good. Yeah. We've got great teachers down there. I see those little guys every day. So it's doing great. We love having it down there. Yeah. We sure do.
I'm glad you worked it out.
We're glad we got to keep it. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
We're very glad. Very grateful.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, I have a question. Is a Nike brand, is that the only vendor that you price for uniforms?
That's the only one we priced this time around. Yes, sir. They offer an incentive program through because we are such a large percentage of Native American-based population that it's actually at 40% discount. It's probably reflected in the quote sheets that you got there. We're not secluded to using any one such brand. That was just that rep that we met with, two different reps that we've met with. They've both been parallel in their quotes, pretty much the same exact prices. So that was the one that I got. But
Nike's offering a thing called an NC7, where if you have a certain percentage of Native American students within your school district, where they'll give you a discount of 40%.
Whether that's clothing or shoes or not necessarily supplies for your programs. But and again, if you have any young men or women in baseball or softball, you guys are aware that the costs have just risen. I mean, they're just, it's really high even to get baseballs and bats and gloves are just high. And then again, our students face the same socioeconomic issues that a lot of other school systems face, and we do as well in our hometown. You know, with just not having a lot of business opportunities, and so we rely heavily upon what fundraisers we do within our community. And so it's definitely a challenge that we face. So
the reason I asked that is that we appropriated some money to Wetumpka High School for a football uniform,
yes,
softball,
okay,
baseball. And they went with the Russell brand because it was a lot cheaper than the Nike brand.
We have a set of football Russell? Or
Russell, we have a Dell.
Right, Dell, okay, yes.
Russell's very good, very high quality, and very good prices typically. But with the when we priced some different brands with the discount that Nike was going to offer, it was about equivalent to what the cheaper brands were going to be.
Thank you,
ma'am. Any more questions? No. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys. Thank you very much.
Roll call vote, please.
Dodie Barnett.
Yes.
Joyce Deere.
Yes.
James Jennings.
No.
Rufus Scott.
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 3 in favor and 1 against.
3 in favor, 1 against. That motion passes. We sent to BF&J. This is NCA 16-191, law of the Muskogee Creek Nation authorizing a donation to Okemah Public Schools. Sponsors, Representative Hicks.
Motion to postpone indefinitely.
Motion by Representative Jennings to postpone indefinitely. Second by Representative Barnett. Roll call vote, please.
Jody Barnett.
Yes.
Joyce Deer?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. NCA 16-191 is postponed indefinitely. Other business? Any announcements?
Sure, I think we'll make an announcement about your comments on the outside. About how you would read it.
Yes, I'm sorry. I wanted, before I started talking earlier, I wanted to thank y'all for the way we were greeted when we came in with the handshakes and welcome. Very much appreciated. It made us feel like we're really welcome here. Our council doesn't do that, and it, like I said, it really made us feel like we're welcome. And I want to thank y'all for the greetings that we received when we came in.
Motion for adjournment.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion by Representative Jennings for adjournment. Is there a second?
Sure.
Second by Representative Scott. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. We are adjourned. I'm going to ask Representative Deer if she'll give us the benediction.
Dear God, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for the rain that you've offered to our land. Father, we thank you for the business of this nation, and we ask for prayer for our leadership, and we ask your guidance in all that we do on behalf of the citizens of our nation. And we thank you for all the blessings of life. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.